And we know that our promise is that type of Abraham. And I'm saying again, if our descendants will be blessed, it will be because they have also learned to do righteousness and justice. We talked about the fact that what is more important is that the child is born in Zion. Remember that. Let's never forget it. It is important for us to bear in mind, Christianity is not something that you inherit by birth. It's a decision you must make at a particular point in your life. And you must train your children and set them up for making that decision. And most importantly, pray for them. Don't just be praying for the hidden that's far away. The hidden starts in your home. Are you getting my point? Your children were not born again from their mother's womb. They have to make up their minds at one point in life that will follow the way of our parents, all right? In which, that is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must pray about that. I'm sure you have already learned that prayer. If you didn't pray it before, it's not too late. God knew you were going to pray, so he was waiting for you to pray it. What is the prayer? Say, Lord, all the Judases you need on this earth, send them through North Korea. Now, that's supposed to be a joke. That's the North Korea aspect. If you need a Judas, send him through somewhere else. Not my house. No son of perdition, no daughter of perdition is coming through here. I'm asking you for it so that I can say boldly, all the ones that you gave me, I did not lose any. Very important prayer. Specifically pray it. Say, God, if you want children for ungodliness, I know sometimes you have the unrighteous, you need them for the day of destruction. Good. Go and make them somewhere else. Don't use my house. Now, I beg you. My name is not Father of Judas. Are you getting my point? And if it sounds like that, I change it quickly. Get me a name like, James and John. What's the name of their father? Zebedee. Zebedee. In fact, I said, God, for the period of this prayer, my name is Zebedee. My children will be James and John. I'm not giving birth to any Judas. My name, in fact, no wonder Jesus Christ. Oh, now I have got him. I've got what Jesus was doing. When he saw Peter, he said, you're no longer Simon. You know why? Judas was son of Simon. Hey, to deliver Peter from giving birth to Judas. He said, Peter, come. From now on, say after me. My name is Peter. So in case your name is Simon, quickly say, dear Lord, for the period of this prayer, my name is not Simon. Because you know Judas was the son of Simon. And it's not good. The Lord is good. So you will not give birth to Judas in Jesus' name. All the spirit of Judas will cast them to North Korea. What's my problem with North Korea today? Bishop, I don't know. What's my problem with North Korea? Why? Okay. They still don't believe in God as a nation. That was my reason. All right. So the point I'm making is this. It's a prayer we must pray. We will not give birth to any Judas. And you pray that prayer for your children. And that's even before they are born. Even after they've been born. All right, you still have to specifically pray that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened. Very, very important. Okay, now please, one more scripture, Psalm 112. Now, this is very important. God says, if you want your children to be great on this earth, if you want them to be mighty, to be prosperous, to be rich, to be influential, this is what you must bear in mind. Verse 1 says, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. It says, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, please notice that. He said that if a man desires for his descendants to be mighty, we can decode this from the scriptures, and for his generations after him to be blessed, what he needs to do is observe the scriptures. He said, a blessed man is one who fears the Lord, who greatly, not normally, who does what? Greatly delights in his commandments. He says, such a person is the one who will have his descendants mighty on the earth, and his generation, he said, will be blessed. As a consequence of his the blessing of God upon him, wealth and riches will be in his house for his descendants to inherit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's what he was emphasizing. That is, where they are going to get it from is not the fact that the man laid it up. It's the fact that the man made sure that he was upright all the days of his life. And that's what I want to teach, all right, about today. And then I'll close. Now, I said something last time. Let me just pick up from there. And that's the fact that what you do does not only affect you, it affects your generations after you. That's why God, when he was talking about his person, he said that I visit the iniquities of the father on the sons down to the third generation. But let's not stop with that. That's why people just now, why should God do that? He said, but only if it is righteousness, I extend to the thousand generations. You understand? So it's a good God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. But there's a principle to bring out from there. There's a principle. And that's the fact that what you are doing now is affecting your descendants. Very important. The way you live your life. I said something before, that as a parent, you are a doorkeeper. That is, anything that wants to enter your house, no evil spirit can enter your house because your children brought them in. They can knock. The moment you see them, you kick them out. The evil spirit that can stay there is the one you permit. It's the parents that can let evil spirits come into the house, and the spirits will think they have a right. In fact, they will know they have a right to stay. The children, they can't. They can try, but the parents are the ones that have the power. There's a scripture we read a number of times when God was rebuking the children of Israel for the iniquity that they were doing. He said to them that you find out that your daughters have become harlots. He said, but I am not going to judge them for their harlotry. The reason is because they became what they became simply because of what the parents were. It was not the girls themselves that were the problem, God was saying. It was what the parents were doing that caused the spirit of harlotry to enter into the children. Let me just read it just so that we'll read it. Hosea chapter 4. Very important we understand this. Because of time, we'll just read a few verses. Let's just start from verse 11. It says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray. And this harlotry had to do with worshipping other gods. And they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant. Notice the next line. It said, therefore, your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery. He said, I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, or your brides when they commit adultery. What is the reason? For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with temple prostitutes. So the people without understanding are ruined. If you see then, he now talked about the fact that the next line said, though you Israel play the harlot, you see, as a nation, idolatry had come into them. And spiritually, that was what is called harlotry. Are you getting my point? That is what it means to play the harlot spiritually. It's when somebody departs from the true God and follows the way of the world. When somebody departs from following the true God and follows after other gods. Now, the result of it is what I'm talking about actually. The effect is that physical harlotry came amongst the daughters. Even the sons, if you can see, it's implied there. Even the young men, they started going after temple prostitutes. The issue is this. The real thing started because the parents were idolaters. Please, I want you to get this in mind. Please, take this news to every adult man you see. Every adult woman you see. Sometimes some women don't understand. Somebody, maybe she and her husband, they're having problems at home. Someone now come and say, there is one baba in one corner that can cook a concussion. She doesn't understand that once you step, especially when you're a Christian, listen, you know, I say something. If you're a believer, once you leave Egypt, you must do what? You must enter the promised land. Otherwise, you'll perish in the wilderness. If you don't believe, just don't believe. You know, once they are preaching the gospel, close your ears. But once you believe, you know, the Israelites that refused to leave Egypt, they may have died, they may not have died, we don't know. But the ones that followed Moses, all of them died in the wilderness because they refused to believe their God so as to enter into the promised land. Very important. So that's why you should take this news to everybody. So maybe such a woman, they say, all these problems you are having, and these are church-going people. Because of their desire for solution. Because of their desire, look, we have been praying, the prayer hasn't worked. Now, if prayer is not working, go and find out why it's not working. You don't exchange gods because this is your prayer is not working currently. You find out why. But she does not know, so somebody answered that, let us go to one Baba. And the Baba gets there. When you see him, you know his home video, real, that is, his face is painted. You know he's not even pretending. You know there are those who pretend. Although just by the way, Sha. A lot of them have worn suits now. So I also have to explain it. I will explain as I'm going on. And they are not deceiving people. But you see people go, they do things like that. As a matter of fact, you know, there are things you don't even know that you have to tell Christians. But they actually, I have heard of it, so I haven't really seen it, but I've heard of it. Christians who actually go and consult, you know, native, what do they call them now? I don't want to use the word native. The Dibias and the Babalawos. Why? They have a problem, they want a solution. Some actually believe so much in it. My son is going to school. They go and collect something and put inside his bag from that Baba. Sometimes it's not the mother, it's the father. Now, this is the point. He meant it for good. But what did he do by that? He opened the door for evil spirits. Satan is not nice. So. When Satan comes and says, bow to me, I will give you everything. You know what it means? Everything is the reason you will bow. But once your head is down, I put my leg on top of it. You know? When you bow, that's his own. He doesn't like you. Everything he gives has a cost. And Jesus is not paid the cost. Everything God gives has a cost. But Jesus paid that one. Are you getting my point? Anything Satan is giving you, you have to pay yourself. He wants to make you rich. He will collect something that you have to pay now. Ah, come on, he's got to get paid. Somebody has to get paid. As in, Jesus is not paying it. You have to pay it. Now, what happens to that in that kind of situation? The man goes to go and look for protection he thinks for his son who is going to university so that there will be no problem there. At the end of the day, what he does not know is that he has opened the door for evil spirits. And when they enter campus like that, those evil spirits, normally, where they find themselves is in cults. So the one the father puts inside the boy leads the boy into a cult. Listen, that's why. Anyway, when Jesus refused to, you know, there was time Jesus, they caught one young lady in the act of adultery. And they said, what do we do? And you know what he said? You know the rest of the story. Those of you without sin, cast the first stone, and then eventually everybody disappeared, and the lady was set free. But this is the issue. Why did he do that? He didn't do it just because he was merciful, even though he was merciful. But the one thing I came to understand is that he did it because he was understanding. Why? What happened was that she was under an influence. And that was why he dared the men. That's why he dared the men. If she's the adulteress here, all right, if you guys think she's just an adulteress, cast the stone, then I will know that you guys did not let the spirit into the society. What he was telling them that you cannot stone a victim when you are the cause. As far as he was concerned, that young lady was a victim. But that day was her turning point. I told the story in Choice Key to Destiny. All right? That day was her turning point. He had now met her and given her a new direction in life. Now she has to make her choice. Until that point, that young lady had next to no choice to make. And parents do that to their children. They do that. And this one I'm explaining. People go after other gods. What does that do? He opens the door. And evil spirits are following the young men and young women around. They can't, listen, they can't help it. It's not as if you are strong, if you yourself, a time will come, that time will come, in which God says, all right, now, I pulled you down for you to make your own choice. Are you following the way of your father? Or you are going to look and say, this is not the right way to go. But of course, that's not what we're talking about. Now, what we're talking about, we're laying emphasis on the fathers, on the mothers, who are opening unnecessary doors for evil spirits into their homes and wondering why this boy is driving everybody crazy. Sometimes people think that all this money we are looking for is for them. You know, most of the time is a lie anyway. Half of the time it is true. Okay, a little less than half of the time it's true. Most of the time it's a lie. The father too wants to enjoy this money. He says, I'm just doing this for my children. Oh, God, why are you spending so much? If you are doing it just for your children, all this money you are just spending, are you not enjoying it? But even if it's for the children, it is important that money is quickly clean. Are you getting my point? It's quickly clean. You can't be a fraud to get money for the children. What are you doing? You're opening an evil door. Those guys are not going to be normal in life. There are people in life, for them to become normal, they must change their, that is, forget their father's house entirely. The man has cursed everything that he left for them. Even redemption, there's restitution. Restitution. There are people that have to do restitution with their father's property. What I mean is, it's not as if they will just say, I don't want. So what do with it? Sell it, give it to the poor. That everything this man touched is tainted. Redemption can't clean it. There are places God will say, when you read it, burn everything down. Just burn it down. I believe that anybody listening to this is a true Christian. And if a person is not, please, wherever you are listening to this from, give your life to Christ. But for those who are true believers, it is not just a, so I assume that the person is not going to shrines. But let me just emphasize, take this message to everybody. You're going to shrine, you are not, with the light of Jesus around, you are opening doors for evil. They will come and build a tabernacle. Let me say something to you again. You know I said something earlier. I said that a lot of these Babalawos and DBS, they have bought suits. There are plenty. Let me just quickly say this to you. Take this, listen to me carefully. I mean what I'm saying. If you go around looking, now, there are people who do it. They go around looking for prayer. If you go around looking for prayer, you will fall into the hands of one of them. If you go around looking for vision, you are guaranteed, that one is guaranteed. You will. You will fall into the hands of the ones that have one suit. You think you're a Christian. So they say, I told the story of one brother who came to see me here once. You've heard the story before. A politician. God led him. He won an election. Next election, they called him and said, let us go and meet one Baba that the senior politicians use. He said, no, I'm a Christian. They said, all right. They came back one day and said, well, I found a pastor. When he wouldn't agree to follow them to the DBS place, they found the pastor. So he agreed and went to the pastor. When the pastor got there, the pastor first looked at him and said, oh, for all your years in political office, you will pay a tithe. The man first collected the arrears of the tithe. Arrears. He said he didn't have any money. He had to go and borrow money. At the end of the day, I think before that or after that, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. He had a dream. And the Lord told him that do anything you like, you won't win that election. The same God that led him into the first, encounter, the first endeavor, yes. Same God that gave him a vision again in a dream and said to him, this one you will not win. The man he fell into his hand, that one, it's not the true man of God, he's just a joker. When he prayed for us, you've been in political office for 4 years, where is the, all those years, you tithe correctly? No, sir. Go and bring the arrears. God is angry with you. That's why I'm warning Christians. Stop going around to strange places. Listen, before somebody prays for you, know the person first, I beg. A lot of prayer houses, I'm sorry to say it like this, but it's the truth. A lot of prayer houses, and look, especially, I've said before, especially when you enter, they start telling you your uncle. And listen, don't think they will lie in that they will say things that are not accurate to. They will be accurate to. Your car had an accident 17th of May last year. True or false? True, sir. When your wife was crossing the road yesterday, she bought tomato from one girl that was not too tall, not too short, not too fat, not too slim, not too fair, not too dark. True of us. And you remember when you packed that time for your wife to buy tomato? That girl has an Obanje spirit. Did you eat the tomato? Yes. Ah. 7 days deliverance. Oh, party. Of course, you will believe. Why won't you believe? Because you have never heard of familiar spirits. That you will believe. You've never heard of familiar spirits. That is why, listen, the first thing that should drive you up and down is the knowledge of God. What did I say? That's what you should seek. Don't seek prayers and visions. If you want prayer, go to your eyes. How do I say it? Go to the people you know. Some of the best people to pray with you are your friends. We have this idea, let the pastor pray. It's good, it's not bad though. Are you getting my point? If you come and she pray with you, I will pray with you. If you're a stranger, I do it reluctantly if I don't know you. Please, I pray for me. I will pray for you. God bless you, keep you, increase you. The kind of things you will have done yourself. But if you really want prayer, it has to be people. You want someone to pray with you? Grab somebody that you, your friend that, I mean, you sure from the street, I don't know you. If you told me that Ebola killed all your relatives in Liberia, you know I won't cry. I'm not going to cry because I don't know you. You must understand. You just show up from nowhere. I've never met you. There's nothing. You say, all my cousins in Liberia, they are dead. What happened? Ebola. My mom, what were they looking for in Liberia? You know, that's the kind of thing that went through my mind. Why? It's not because I'm wicked. Because, you see, I have learned that if I have to cry for 800 people that have been killed by Ebola now, I will die tomorrow myself. So, no, that's how life is. I'm being honest with you. But then, if it's somebody I know, and you say, since yesterday I have not slept because my ankle, nobody has died though, just your ankle that's hurting. What happened? Let me see. Do we provide? What do, you know, I'm concerned. Why? There's a connection. And the effectual fervent. I told the word effectual fervent. Amplifies the effectual heartfelt prayer of a righteous person, a man of faith, a woman of faith, whose troubles, all right, who your troubles will concern. That one is the one that has power. We have this misguided thought that it is Bishop Oyedepo's prayer that has power. It is Pastor Iyadebo's prayer that has power. So people will travel from here to Lagos. Pastor Banky's prayer has power. That one, you know, it's not even true. No, I'm being, look, you know, it's not humility, it's fact. Your prayer on my own has the same amount of prayer, a power. No, I'm telling you, the only reason why my prayer may have power more than yours is because you think so. I don't know whether you get my point. So when you come, you pray for yourself, it didn't work. So you now come, say, Pastor, I say, once he prays, it will work. So you will believe. Your faith is stronger. You understand my point? That's the only reason. If you could muster that same faith in your own prayer, it works. Look, that what I've told you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See that your friend beside you. Once the person is a person that's concerned with the word, about the word of God, the two of you join hands. See, let us pray. What's happening? You know, oh boy, I don't want to die suddenly, but my heart has not been beating right. Ah, and you're his best friend. Hey, oh boy, if you die suddenly, I will follow you, enter half of the grave. After that, you in a half. Now, after that, after that, I will come out never. But that half is enough. You understand my point? That one is enough. That one is a let us pray. You understand? No, I've had those experiences. I told you once, let me just drop one of these tests when I was in school. A friend of mine went home. In fact, three of them that happened when I was on campus, they're in my head right now. In fact, another one just in my head right now. In fact, you know, they are just examples, are just jumping. Once a friend of mine called me at night, said their son was sick. I just prayed for the boy over the phone, you know, that kind of thing. And then, they don't see me as, you know, Pastor Banky. These were my, I mean, both the husband and her, the lady that called, they are older than, the lady is just slightly older than me in age, and the husband is slightly older than her, you understand? So, but we're in school together, so he's not a man of God. It's more of Banky, Hafa, you know, that kind of thing. But she just thought that, what do I do? Call Banky, let him pray with you. So I prayed with them on the phone. Then when they dropped the phone, my wife said she didn't know I could pray like that. The kind of agony that gripped me after they dropped the phone. The kind of agony. Why, they are my friends. For certain reasons, I couldn't let anything happen to that boy. So that agony grip. Ah! My wife said, you were looking at me like, this man prays like this. With this kind of, move back home. I cannot, you know. You know, you know that any spirit crossing here is injured permanently. But listen, what caused it? They are my close friends. Once a friend of mine, that's what I was going to tell you, when we were in school, came back from home one day, told me how the whole family has scattered. And we're all students. They're looking for man of God. We're all students. Students. When they finished telling us the matter, I still remember that day very well. Where I remember the building in Hall 2, University of Benin, where I sat, where we met in one room. And I remember because that day I was very ill. The two of them stood up. I couldn't stand. I was that ill. If I was praying, I was almost shivering. I was ill before that point. When he finished telling us everything, I remember my friend, the one that lives in Houston, and he was the one that led the prayer. He just said, we're just thanking God. He made one simple sentence. I still remember very well. You foul spirits disturbing the house of our brother, we command you in the name of Jesus Christ to stop, and we cast you out of that house. It wasn't longer than that. When he finished, though, he started giving thanks again. The whole prayer was no more than 15 to 20 minutes. Three boys on campus. The guy went home that weekend. Listen, he got home, despite the fact that he had prayed, he was shocked. Suddenly, his father woke up. His father senses that had scattered all over the place, rearranged. When he came back, this was just about less than 2 weeks after the prayer. He called us again, so I was like, what is going on? This time around, he opened the drawer, began to bring bottles, you know, bottles of drink, you know, that kind of thing. And meat pie, those days, you know, not now that there's Mr. Biggs, that one. You won't see meat pie. If not, chop puff puff. And buns, nothing for you. The guy went and bought, that time it was Kingsway meat pie. Left University of Benin all the way to Ring Road to go and buy, brought it. And that my friend, the one that says in Houston now, this guy is a comedian. He said, wow, man, we have to be praying for brethren. We have to be praying for brethren. No, the hungriest set of human beings are not refugees. The students. Students are the hungriest set of people I've seen. refugees are used to hunger. You know, they are used to it. You know, they are used to it. But students, they're on this borderline between they see food regularly, but not regularly enough. So when I'm telling you, and we're just friends. Just friends. I don't want to bore you with many stories. But that is just went to a friend. Why? These are people who, you know, they are the ones that feel your problem. If you are called one big man of God, please pray for me. The Lord bless you. It is well with your family. Yeah. Amen. It's so easy to connect with the answer. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is point I'm making? Listen, stop going around looking for prayer. That's what I've just said, none of that. I've seen from one prayer house, if you're a prayer house person, you're a problem person. What you don't know, which is what I'm telling you, is that your problems didn't start before those visits. It started after. The first visit was just a normal problem. Once you go once, the thing is cocaine. It's like heroin. The guys know. The money's in the comeback. Do you understand? They know. They have to hook you. You have to become an addict. Addicted to prayer. You know what I'm saying? And you come and say, we haven't seen you for some time. That's why I have come. The guy knows. You see, if you don't come regularly, the spirits will be pursuing you. You see, it's a new bondage. You should know when you have not been set free. Tell people, I know it's not your portion in Jesus' name. And in case you came here, you're like that, I hereby free you by the power of truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Once I saw a man, ah, so they do them, the way they take to that man. Ah, I said, and you think you are free? Rich man those days, when I was working for 5,000 naira a month, he was driving his car brand new. 5,000 naira a month? Yes, I was a medical doctor, qualified, post NYSC. He bought his car brand new. But where was he sleeping? Inside church. And I was looking at him and say, and you think you have been set free? Because they told that witches are after him. So the house he had in Suleri, but one of his sleep for there. May God deliver you totally in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In fact, you have been delivered already in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what truth is. Truth sets you free. Listen, we parents, we are doorkeepers. When you are going around looking for prayer from one longo to the other, there's one new longo on my way to work now. Anytime I'm going in the morning, I see cars parked there. I say, this is a prayer house. I saw them clearing. I thought it was a filling station they wanted to build. And they drive past. Bishop, you know it. If you like, say, you don't see her. You don't see the thing. I thought it was filling. The next time I saw, they began to erect tents. Next day, cars were parking in the morning. I said, consultant, he has gone. People now queue there every morning to pray. I'm telling you, and I'm not kidding. Most of the people that go around from such places to another, they are inviting problems, they are not solving them. A lot of times, people are consulting traditional, you know, the juju man who has bought a suit. And how you know it's simple. If you get into it, you see the kind of thing they tell you to do. And I've told you, true preachers, true Christians, true prophets, true men of God, they pray in the name of Jesus and point to you righteousness, walk in righteousness, walk in faith. And start pointing fingers all over the place. Don't go around. Listen, when people, you know what they call divination? Divination is one way by which evil spirits enter into people's homes. And many times, people who are doing divination, they think they are doing Christian divination, but it's still divination. You are looking for who will see vision for you, it's divination. Divination always brings evil into a home. Please, don't get involved in divination. Be looking around for, you know, the spirits that are people and mortar. You know what I'm saying? And somebody see vision for me. I want to do business. And when we were young that time, my mother said, one, ah, thank God, God has delivered us. I followed my father once or twice for those sessions. No, I followed him. No, I followed him once, followed my cousin once to the same woman. When you go there, you will kneel down. You pray. And at the end of the day, she'll give you a vision. I know the interesting part. My mother said something. She said, those visions always came to pass. Once they are bad. She said, there is not one evil vision she saw that did not happen. All the ones of good that she prophesied did not happen. She said, one day she came. My mother told me this. Came to my grandfather's house. You understand? So it's like my, you know, my mother's father's house. Came around there and began to prophesy. He talked that she's seen death around the house. Everybody has to fast and pray. They did everything to the letter. Then my auntie one day got a chieftaincy title of some sort while doing celebration. Her son drank a bit, stood at the back of her pickup. The driver took a speed break. Boom, the boy went into the air, hit his head on the road and died. My cousin. With all the prayer they pray, all the prophecies of victory, not one came to pass. My father wanted to do business one day. I follow him. I was a small boy, very small, but I did hear well. How did they forget? I told him everything. The man was looking for a breakthrough. By the time the woman was through with her prophesying, he said, no, breakdown is what is coming. You that went there, you have faith in them. And I'm telling you. After some time, my brother said, one day the woman saw her on the road. Ah, she doesn't see them again. My mother said, ah, so you understand now. Said, thank God for the light of Jesus. Jesus has delivered her. And the man who delivered her from there, he didn't used to see visions. He just used to teach the truth. I've told you some of the story about the man before. Powerful man of God. All he used to do was teach the truth. That was the first place I started hearing solid word as a little boy. We used to go to his house, his sitting room. When the man finishes preaching, you're vibrating. He died a few years ago, but one of the things I remember very well. Oh, listen, I'm anointed. You know why? I know. God is good. One day my phone rang. It was that man, that real man of God. I said, hello, sir. He began to prophesy. Hey, cowboys. I was just packing. I stopped there. I did that email for like 15 minutes. After that, I thanked him, called my wife. I said, listen, I have just been blessed. Collect more. Look, that's the man I told you that when he was driving on the road, his tire went down. Somebody said, hey, yeah, see your tire. He said, he quickly reasoned and said, no, I don't have a spare. What do? So he commanded the tire to get up. The car got up again. Continued driving. He said that was the day his secretary was sitting in front of the car. The only one got down, looked at the tire, knelt down there and gave her life to Christ. I told you the story now. He was going one day. Somebody said, no go better for you. Because he splashed water on somebody. So he stopped and said, I'm very sorry. He said, what do you mean? Useless. After I told him, enough. I'm a man of God. I'm anointed. Nobody talks to me like that. Eh? Go need that for me. Eh? Me? He told the man, I hereby return your curses to you. The man dropped and died. With all of this, no deception. He told the man, I hereby return your curses to you. The man dropped and died. There were two. The second one ran. Ran to the nearby village to go and call people. He just stood there beside the cops and beside his car. When they came, they had the nonsense. Everybody prostrated. Okay, Joe. Don't mind, he's an idiot. After they begged him, he went there, put a hand on the man, and commanded him to come back to life. The guy sneezed and woke up. He entered his car and drove away. When he's preaching those days, you almost be trembling. He didn't used to see any half visions. After my friends listened to him small, man, now they abandoned the prophetess. I'm telling you, stop going from house. Look, all those divinations, they create problems, not just for you, but for your children. The Lord is good. I have to finish this next time because there's another part of this I have not gotten into. I'll finish it next time. Let us pray. Let us give you our thanks. Talking about blessing your children. Parents, you are doorkeepers. Be careful what you let into the home. That's what the children need, to have the right spirit inside that home. The spirit of Christ, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of justice. Just thank the Lord for your children, even though you can't see them physically now. If you have them already, if you don't have them yet, just thank God for them. Say, Lord, I thank you. You are not sending any Judas into my house. All my children, once again, Lord, I ask you, and I have received the answer, and therefore I declare, they will serve the Lord. Declare, say, all my children will serve the Lord. All my children will serve the Lord. Or I will serve the Lord. Make your commitment and say, Lord, I will not let an evil spirit into my home. All the spirits that mutter, that peep and mutter. Say, I will seek only my God. I will never seek the dead on behalf of the living. I refuse to participate in divination. I refuse to go from one prayer house to another looking for visions. But I declare that righteousness is what I will run after. The knowledge of the truth of God. So that a right spirit will be in my home. So that only a right spirit will be in my home. In the name of Jesus. That is my commitment. I declare it again today. And concerning my children, I declare that righteousness is their portion. They all will be born in Zion. All of them will be born in Zion. They will be children that God marks. I said, this one was born in Zion. They will serve God from their youth, all the days of their lives. Lord, those are the kind of children. I want a testimony like Jesus had, that none of the ones you give me will be lost. Lord, let not one be lost. I declare upon every single one of my children, you will know the Lord. Call them by name. You will know the Lord. The spirit of this age will not get you. The spirit of this age will not drag you away. I close every door against the spirit of harlotry. I refuse to participate in the worship of other gods. Therefore, I close the door to the spirit of harlotry. And I declare that they will not get any of my children. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, quickly turn to your neighbor. Say, it is well with you in the name of Jesus. Say, you will not go after spirits that are people and mortar. But righteousness is your portion. Understanding is your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, we have passed into life, we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ, we have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Give it to one neighbor on your side. This is your season of fruitfulness. In the name of